This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today this is episode number 118. We are joined by Sharon Melamed of matchboard.com.au. It is a matchmaking service for outsourcing service providers so that SMEs and companies generally can get in touch with the right outsourcing provider for them. So it's interesting to talk to Sharon. We introduced Sharon within the podcast, so I won't dive too much into that. We did speak to Sharon earlier in episode 113. If you want to know more about Sharon's corporate and professional background in outsourcing, then do go and listen to that one. But I'm sure you will enjoy this episode independently. And if you want any of the information or show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/118. Enjoy. So hi, everybody, and welcome back. Today, again, I'm lucky to be joined by Sharon Melamed. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Derek. How are you?
Great, great. Thank you. And today, Sharon, you're of a BPO matching company, which, of course, I'll get you to introduce. It is called Matchboard. And today, we've got you back to deep dive into exactly what Matchboard is, not because this is an infomercial, but because I think it's really interesting and important for everyone out there to know what services there are in outsourcing, but also the auxiliary services connected to outsourcing. So I'm super happy to have you here. We did, of course, chat to you a couple of episodes ago. So if anyone wants to hear more of your backstory, they can go and listen to that. And but Sharon, I suppose if they haven't listened to that, can you please give a quick introduction of yourself and how you found yourself with Matchboard?
Absolutely. Well, I've been in the outsourcing industry for 25 years, and I've worked all around the world in 5 countries. I speak 5 languages, and so I've really got that global perspective. But after working for BPOs in a sales and marketing role for 20 years, I started Matchboard 5 years ago, which is really a matching platform for the outsourcing industry, making it quite unique in the world.
Fantastic. And so you were dealing in the kind of big end of the market for the first 20 years, is that right? Like big corporates and...
Yeah, look, I did see it evolve. So while outsourcing really started as a strategy that was purely available to the big corporations, over time I saw the medium-sized companies creep in and then the small businesses. And that's thanks to the BPOs or the vendors in the market who've made all that possible, which is an exciting phase, I think, for small businesses to tap into as a growth strategy.
Sure. And so how, you know, can you give us some perspective in terms of the different sales cycles? Because I am trying to encourage as many SMEs into outsourcing as possible. I think that the saving grace with this business model is that the sales cycle is a huge amount quicker and shorter for SMEs. They can move a bit quicker. How does that compare to the sales cycles of the big conglomerates? You know, are there tender processes? There's a lot of bureaucracy. Do you see that the SME market is a lot more nimble?
Oh, look, absolutely. Typically, the business owner can make decisions through meetings, site visits, and a basic proposal, and not have to deal with the 100-page RFP and tender documents that a large company would go through. They would have one person making the decision at the end of the day versus a whole team at a big company. So I think that is the advantage of small businesses, and they can move faster. And that's what outsourcing offers, really, is that ability to be agile. So it's a great complement. Small businesses love to move fast, and that's exactly how outsourcing works, ramping up and down in line with changing business needs. So that flexibility is a huge benefit to small businesses.
Yeah, and it seems a match made in heaven, really, doesn't it, to borrow your name, but because historically, and maybe you can shed your experience on this, historically the service provision for SMEs within outsourcing just didn't exist. You probably couldn't have engaged with a BPO service provider more than 10 years ago. Would you kind of agree with that? And so is it a fairly recent
Yes.
development where you can take one seat and you can give it a go for relatively, low exposure and low risk?
Yeah, that's it. And I think for a lot of small businesses, it's a case of really dipping your toes in the water before sort of moving the whole house across. So, for example, a small business might start with just an assistant to the business owner offshore doing all their admin tasks, but then it might expand to the accounting function or a bit of digital marketing. And before you know it, there's more people offshore in the company than in the head office in Australia or the US or wherever it is. So
Nice.
that's, I guess, start small and grow is really the mantra for small businesses going offshore.
And so you offer a, do you want to deep dive into Matchboard and tell us exactly the secret sauce in there? It's a, the basic concept
Yes.
is matching people's needs up with a commensurate service provider.
That's exactly right. So, the problem that we wanted to solve was that typically when a small business is looking to outsource, they'll hop onto Google and they'll type in a few keywords and they'll get hundreds of thousands of options back. And who's to know which companies are good, bad, a fit, interested even in certain volumes that a small business might have. So it just becomes a bit overwhelming to sort of look on the screen at this sea of options and not know where to start. So that's the problem I wanted to solve, is to take away what I call those search engine glues and provide a much faster, more accurate way for people to link up with their perfect match suppliers offshore. So what the matching platform is, think of it as online dating, but for the outsourcing world, where you can enter up to 10 filters. So you might enter, this is my budget, this is the type of work I want to get done, this is my timeline, this is the location I'm interested in, I need XYZ industry experience. And literally you would take between 1 and 2 minutes to complete this entire guided questionnaire. So with literally a minute of investment of your time, you can then instantly get back a short list of companies that meet every one of your criteria. So your perfect match, if you would like. And we would connect you with them. We then drop out of the picture and it's up to you to sort of work out all the two, three or four sort of choices we've put forward, which one's going to be the best for you. So that's a direct relationship you'd then have with those outsources we introduce. But I guess one of our big value propositions is that we don't work with just any outsourcer that comes along. There are some dodgy players out there, like in any industry. So what we do is we pre-screen every company. We speak to their clients. We do our due diligence. We check them out online, and we make sure that they're going to provide a good service to our clients. And on that basis, we're happy to attach our brand in making the introduction.
Right. Okay. And so the what is if we sort of reverse engineer the criteria a little bit then, what do you see as the major determinants of people's sort of outsourcing requirements? Does it typically boil down to they have a price budget or it's typically skill specialties? And so then I suppose from that, do you generally recommend generalist BPOs? Do you generally recommend seat leases? What is the sort of magic sauce in terms of making a business happy with its
Making a
outsourcing
match.
decision? Making the
Yes.
match, that's it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we try and match not only with the sort of best match on paper type options, but the companies that are going to have the lowest risk of failing with our clients. So part of that, as I mentioned, is actually putting forward outsources that have someone on the ground. So that de-risks the process. When our clients, the small businesses, whether they're in Australia, the UK, or the US, they can actually go and meet the salesperson in their own country who can walk them through what's involved, take them through the proposal, make sure they understand everything, and then potentially even accompany them out to the Philippines to do a site visit. So that is the first part of it, that we believe strongly that the best options are not only the best options in terms of delivery of the service in the Philippines, but also the ones that can back it up with some sales or account management in the home country. That gives a huge amount of security and comfort to the client. So that's one aspect of the match. Do the BPOs actually offer that? Because that's the overwhelming preference that we see in the market.
That's an interesting heuristic, isn't it? Because it's, as you say, it's relatively uncommon for the size of the industry, but it's probably a really good leading indicator of the size of, I suppose, their infrastructure, their commitment to the country, you know, wherever the client is sitting. It has quite a lot of far-reaching implications, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And there may be more than you think. There's in Australia alone, there are more than 20 Philippines BPOs that have a salesperson or an account manager or both on the ground here. It may only be one person, but it does give the edge. So we have to have a way of narrowing down the field, because there's literally thousands of options otherwise. And so that's one way we refine our matching. Apart from that, look, a lot of companies that have very small requirements rightly feel that they would just get lost in a sea of large clients with some of the big generalist players. So we do try to match that so that our clients are a priority. They're not sort of at the bottom of the sea there with just, you know, one person, and yet the typical client might be 50 people. So that's typically not a good match either. We want to find companies that actually are hungry for the business of these small businesses, and more than happy to service them. And they've set up their reporting and their account management frameworks to accommodate the small business owner.
Fantastic. And in terms of the geography, then, are you predominantly focusing on the Philippine outsourcing market, or do you sort of see the bigger markets like India or the emerging markets like Eastern Europe as valid, and also then your client-facing function, where are you practicing from?
Yeah. Look, we are location agnostic. If there was a country that provided better options in the Philippines, we'd absolutely recommend it. But in most cases for small businesses, particularly for the Australian and the US markets, Philippines tends to have the best offering. So that's not to say that we have never recommended other countries. We have. We've recommended India, New Zealand, South Africa, Fiji, just to name a few. But they all have their strengths and weaknesses. At this small business end of the market, the Philippines vendors are just so far ahead in the way they cater to those small business needs that it is typically, not always, but typically the number one choice.
Right. Yeah, it's fascinating, huh? And do you yourself personally have, you've obviously had, as you mentioned, 20, 25 years experience in this field, but what is your direct experience with the Philippines? And you know, do you really, where do you see the Philippines going in terms of the outsourcing provision?
Yeah. Look, I think everyone in the BPO industry has started to rethink their strategy given the advancements in technology, automation, AI, all those buzzwords, which they have identified as a threat to their business, because so many routine processes can be done through software, through robots, and it's only going to increase, not decrease. But I think where the industry can really develop is to embrace those trends and to offer clients the best of the both worlds. So blended workforces of not only offshore staff, but also robots that they manage. So that total solution, that's where I think we're going. Definitely just in terms of the typical small business owners' needs, they at this, you know, at the early stage may not be at the point of wanting those sophisticated solutions. But if I look in a crystal ball 5 years down the track, 10 years down the track, I think that's more and more what it will be. I mean, I've been to operations where you'll have a team leader with 10 staff, so 10 workstations, and then an 11th station, which is actually a robot. And it's sitting there doing all these things at 8 or 10 times the speed of a human, moving right. the mouse around, copying and pasting and all that. And I think that's the future.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, it is sending sort of waves of concern through the Philippines, isn't it? Certainly for those higher, you know, more repetitive jobs. And I really am hoping that the Philippines keeps abreast of this and you know, increases the value add and increases the kind of more highly skilled roles and functions. It's it is yes, kind of sending shockwaves of concern, isn't it?
It has through? To move up the value chain.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
understandably. But the other thing is that while our voice or telephone solutions with customers may be declining, you know, social media is flourishing. In-app messaging with customers is booming. And so there's all these other channels through which companies can communicate with customers, not only in a reactive way, managing inquiries, but also proactive customer engagement. So using those savings that you get from offshore and plugging them back into the customer experience and doing outreach to your customers to grow your share of wallet, to cross-sell, to make sure your customers are happy. So there's lots of ways you can plug those savings back in to then grow your business. It's not just about saving money, it's about growing your business.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, isn't it? Because, I mean, customer service, there will always be a need for customer service. And as you say, proactive customer service. I think it's still going to be a very long time before these chatbots really take over genuine customer service here, because it's still super, super early days, isn't it? It's and I still think that there's generally a preference for people to be dealing with people. And potentially also, I mean, do you agree with this? That I think almost SMEs are commonly early adopters of things, but I think it will be the bigger conglomerates that really automate things first, because they have such big processes that can be automated, whereas SMEs, they have to be more generalist, more nimble. So it might be kind of the next generation that really get into high automation.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it tends to start at the top end of the market and work its way down, which is great for the small businesses, because by the time it gets to there, everything's all smoothed out. Because, you know, well, as you mentioned, chatbots are absolutely improving in accuracy and quite quickly. They're still not 100% accurate by any means. And in many cases, what starts as a chatbot conversation with a customer online will end up being a warm handoff to a human to sort of complete the transaction. So it can only go so far right now. I think with SMEs, it'll be a case of watch this space, start off with your routine rules-based simple stuff and your small pockets of different skill sets. And then as your business grows, you can work with your partner who you've already hopefully identified as the sort of partner that just doesn't want to bill you for as much manpower as possible, but is actually interested in, okay, so how can we do this more efficiently using technology as you grow? So that's the sort of thing we'll be looking for long term.
Fantastic. And that's exactly what you can do now, isn't it? Because you actually, you know, you're not just getting staffing solutions, but you're actually buying into the 15, 20, 25 years executive experience that these BPO service providers offer. So, you know, they're actually experts in the field of improving processes, aren't they? So there's a huge amount of upside there for people that are keen to dip their toe into it.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's the management infrastructure. It's the technology infrastructure. You know, you're dipping into the rich technology options that were previously only accessible to large businesses, but because the BPOs have invested in them, you can tap into 1, 2, 3 licenses functionality that the large businesses were able to play with previously. So you sort of can start to defeat their advantages there.
Absolutely. So, Sharon, I'd love to get you back so we can actually, you know, talk a little bit more about the future of outsourcing, because you seem to have a huge amount of insight there. But in the meantime, thank you so much for your insights into Matchboard. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Sure, I'd love to hear from your listeners and get their thoughts. Well, you can visit matchboard.com.au to check out our website if you have any outsourcing needs. And you can also connect with me on LinkedIn, Sharon Melamed, and I will absolutely be delighted to connect with any of the listeners today.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sharon. And of course, that will all be in the show notes, and we look forward to speaking to you in the near future.
Thank you so much, Derek. Pleasure.
Okay, that was Sharon Melamed of matchboard.com.au. If you want any of the information or show notes, then go to our website at outsourceaccelerator.com/118 for this episode. And of course, if you want to ask us anything at all, just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you.